Beyond. Good evening, welcome. Well, good evening once again. Welcome back to One Step Beyond. Toy Boat. Those of you who are taping the broadcast this evening, please get your machines fired up. And for those of you who are not taping, rest assured that this information is going into permanent file with the archives and archives on audio as an addendum to Radio Free America 34. We're going to take a look at a very, very important money laundering case in Switzerland, apparently connected to both the drugs and arms trade, and also quite apparently connected with the intelligence services of the United States and perhaps other NATO countries as well. This is a very important case, one which, if it were to unravel to the extent that it appears it could, would significantly change the political makeup of our world. That is not an exaggeration, because that sounds like kind of a corny statement to make, I realize, but the implications of this case really could not be exaggerated. I'm going to read you an article now from Newsweek magazine, specifically Newsweek's issue of March 13th of 1989. On page 5 of Newsweek's issue of 3/13/89, we find the following article in the Periscope section. It's headlined simply, CIA Connection. The CIA may face some embarrassing questions about its dealings with a Swiss company under investigation in a New York drug money laundering case. The probe focuses on Zurich-based Shakarchi Trading AG. And again, Shakarchi is Shakarchi. That last sentence again. The probe focuses on Zurich-based Shakarchi Trading AG, or Aktiengesellschaft. A CIA front company bought $25 million in foreign currency from the firm between 1981 and 1988. That last sentence, because this is the nature of the connection between CIA and Shakarchi, according to Newsweek. A CIA front company bought $25 million in foreign currency from the firm between 1981 and 1988. About $500,000 in alleged cocaine profits has been traced to a Shakarchi account in New York. The company denies wrongdoing, but the scandal has already prompted the resignation of the Swiss justice minister, whose husband was a director of the firm. Quote, "The CIA doesn't intentionally involve itself with anyone we know to be in violation of our laws," unquote, says a CIA official. That last statement is so ridiculous, I'm not even going to attempt to analyze it. History over the last 25 years has disproved that preposterous statement more effectively than anything I could say under the circumstances. Suffice it to say that here we have this CIA front company, according to Newsweek, buying $25 million in foreign currency from Shakarchi between 1981 and 1988. Now we're going to take a look at just what this Shakarchi company is, and we're going to stop to analyze some of the various aspects as we go through it. Now, all of the following articles that I'm going to read from the Italian press were researched and translated for us by Dave, who's doing his characteristic landmark work. He's doing a fantastic job. He's been doing it for a long time, and hopefully, God willing, and the creek don't rise, he'll be doing it for quite some time. The following story was researched and translated for us by Dave, and it's from La Repubblica's issue of November 8th of 1988. It reads in part, this is going to give you an idea of some of the operations of the Shakarchi companies. By the way, the whole connection here, this whole drug money laundering scam, the Shakarchi connection, is referred to as the Lebanese connection. So when you see a reference to Richard Secord and the Lebanese connection, that is the connection that I'm about to describe. It's embraces, at least in terms of Italian journalistic shorthand, pretty much the entire Shakarchi operation. Again, of that operation from La Repubblica, November 8th of 1988. On August 12th, 1986, Zurich police answered requests of the Turin solicitor's office concerning the narco-dollar traffic. The requests were lodged November 11th, 1985, by judges Mario Vodano, V-A-U-D-A-N-O, and Marcello Maddalena, M-A-D-D-E-L-E-N-A. They wanted information on a group of 8 persons involved in the drug mega-traffic between Turkey and Italy. 9 months after that, in mid-August of 1986, confirmations arrived from Zurich on the movement of the narco-dollars. With utter Swiss accuracy, the cantonal police listed the payments, 22,000 from 1981 to 1988 on deposit at Società di Banca Svizzera. By the way, those years are the same years in which the CIA front company purchased $25 million in foreign currency. Among the companies of convenience with accounts at SBS were Shikarcho AG and Shikarchi Trading AG of Zurich. Again, AG stands for Aktiengesellschaft. That's the German word for corporation, basically. Italian magistrates believe that the owner of the two AGs had business dealings with some personages in the foreground of the pizza connection, unquote. Above all, with Avni Yasar Musululu, considered the boss of one of the biggest Turkish heroin gangs, and with Yasar Kisacik, who allegedly headed the recycling. I'm going to give you the spellings on those names when I get into a description of just who these people are and what they were involved in at the end of the article. Continuing, the terminal, unquote, of the recycling was in Zurich under the cloak of a company that operated in the jewelry field. The Lebanese president of that company, Mohammed Shikarchi, had had the shrewdness to involve the lawyer Hans W. Kopp, husband of Elizabeth Kopp, the head of the justice and police department. The Turkish trafficker Musululu managed to escape from Zurich and thus avoided arrest in the pizza connection inquiry. He took refuge in Sofia, Bulgaria, where the narco-dollar couriers departed to go to Zurich to the Nova Park Hotel. The Zurich address of Musululu's offices was the same as the old address of Shikarcho AG, Bahnhofplatz 13. Once again, that last sentence because it's a key one. The Zurich address of Musululu's offices was the same as the old address of Shikarcho AG, Bahnhofplatz 13. Just as odd seems another transfer, that of Mohammed Shikarchi's half-brother Marwan, who came to Geneva to run La Pompe Sa in Castel San Pietro, a few kilometers from the Chiasso border, which deals in artistic productions and precious metals, unquote. The two Shikarchis quarreled and therefore decided to separate their activities, or so they explained. However, the heroin and morphine money, according to Swiss prosecutors and Italian magistrates, was turned into gold bullion. Where? Using which refineries? In Mendrisiotto, there are three of them, a couple in Zurich, another in Geneva. Investigators are following the bullion trade, which thrives in Switzerland. Then there's the Milanese thread of inquiry. In 1985, the Guardia di Finanza succeeded in putting its hands on a stock of drugs kept in Milan. From Milan to Liguria, from Liguria to Milan again, where, in the house of Jordanian Ahmad Masselme, cash slips were found relating to the account of Shikarcho AG, the older of Mohammed Shikarcho's two companies in Zurich. At the end of last August, state TV in Turkey was reporting on gold smuggling that originated from the drug trade. It was August 29th. The Istanbul troupe was filming in the Zurich offices of Shikarchi Trading and Shikarcho on Sivertstrasse. An open secret, a few years ago in Turkey, there had been proceedings against Yasser Akturk, an ex-commercial agent for Shikarcho in Turkey. He owned a beautiful hotel in Istanbul called the Zurich. Well, again, the main people here are the Shikarchi brothers, who were involved with the Shikarchi AG, the two AGs, as they're called here. And the most significant aspect here is this fellow Avni Yasar Musululu, mentioned as being involved in the Pizza Connection case. And we're going to talk about the Pizza Connection case. We're also going to talk about the shooting of the Pope. Now, that fellow's name, Avni, is A-V-N-I. Yasser is Y-A-S-A-R. Musululu is M-U-S-U-L-L-U-L-U. Now, in a critical supplement to Radio Free America number 34 that was done in February of last year, we put some information into the archives, which was researched for us by both Dave and Mae Brussel. Dave had made the connection that Avni Yasar Musululu is an alias for a member of the aforementioned Turkish neo-Nazi gang or neo-Nazi organization called the Grey Wolves. The Grey Wolves is the youth wing of the National Action Party. That is a major political party now outlawed in Turkey, which is both at the same time Nazi and is also pan-Turkist. The link-ups between international fascism, Nazism in particular, the pan-Turkist movement, and the jumping of the pan-Turkist Nazi contingent to the CIA and the U.S. National Security Establishment at the end of the war is covered in Radio Free America number 14. That will be played on March 27th, by the way, on KKUP, sister station KKUP. For those of you who can't listen at that time, for those of you who hear this program on tape, Radio Free America number 34, the last supplement before this one, goes into the Avni Yasar Musululu alias of Oral Çelik. Oral Çelik is a member of the Turkish Grey Wolves who were involved in the shooting of Pope John Paul II in May of 1981. We're going to analyze some of the aspects of the Pope shooting in just a second. Suffice it to say here that it would be useful for our understanding to review some of the aspects of the Pizza Connection case. Now, the Pizza Connection case has actually given rise to several different Pizza Connection cases, which, for lack of a better terminology, I have termed Pizza Connections 1 through 4. In a nutshell, the Pizza Connection cases involved using pizza restaurants, primarily in the American Northeast and Midwest, as distribution points for heroin or, in some cases, cocaine as well. Now, some of the most significant aspects of the Pizza Connection case are the fact that the proceeds from this money laundering operation were laundered through two major U.S. brokerage firms, E.F. Hutton, the head of which, during part of the time that it was involved with the Pizza Connection, was Scott Pierce, George Bush's brother-in-law. The other was Merrill Lynch Pierce Fenneran Smith, headed up for at least part of this time by Donald Regan, who was Ronald Reagan's White House chief of staff for many years. The Reagan and Scott Pierce connections to Merrill Lynch and E.F. Hutton, respectively, are significant here because, again, the proceeds from this major heroin distribution operation, and also cocaine as it develops, were laundered through these two major brokerage houses. The maneuvering around the resignation of Donald Regan from the White House and Scott Pierce from the E.F. Hutton unit he had headed during this time, the coincidence in timing suggests very strongly that as the Pizza Connection case began to break, it offered the possibilities of a political liability for the Reagan and Bush administrations for obvious reasons. As it turns out, the political liabilities to be derived from the Pizza Connection case were considerably greater than what they at first appeared to be, primarily because the Pizza Connection case continued to develop in the direction of not only the Pope shooting, but also the P2 Lodge. The fellow who helped to break the Pizza Connection case was a former mafioso named Tommaso Buscetta, last name B-U-S-C-E-T-T-E. Buscetta was an associate of Michele Sindona, Michele Sindona being an organized crime figure in Italy who was a member of the P2 Lodge. The P2 Lodge was a Masonic lodge in Italy which was used as a front for a number of different neo-fascist political activities. Its head and founder was Licio Gelli, a prominent Italian fascist who was also an Oberleutnant in the SS during the Second World War, a fellow with very close ties to the Nixon and Reagan administrations, also connected up to Jimmy Carter, and a fellow who, according to David Yalop in the book In God's Name, helped set up the so-called Rat Line, which used Vatican auspices, among others, to help transport key Nazi intelligence people out of the United States, many of them war criminals, by the way, out of Europe, rather, and into Latin America and the United States, where many of them went to work as U.S. intelligence agents. Now, the P2 Lodge, as I said, was a bogus Masonic lodge that had served, for all practical purposes, as a crypto-fascist government, which had ruled Italy to a considerable extent for much of the post-war period. One of the connections of the P2 Lodge was to the shooting of Pope John Paul II, although the American press and European press have largely focused on the Bulgaria connection, or the Bulgarian connection, in the shooting of Pope John Paul II. In fact, all of the available evidence suggests that it was elements of the West, specifically NATO, and specifically elements of the secret team, as the Christic Institute referred to them, that were involved in shooting the Pope, not the Soviets, KGB, Bulgarians, etc. It should be noted that a major element of the P2 drug-related scandals does indeed go through Bulgaria, and with the apparent cooperation of elements of the Bulgarian government and security services. Nonetheless, Bulgaria is not the center of this operation. It appears to be more of a transit company, although it should be said that the Bulgarians have got their fingers into the narco dollars, too. Now, at the time the Pope was shot, he was involved in making some key diplomatic initiatives in the direction of the Kremlin. The Soviet Union and the Pope saw common ground on a number of issues, chiefly Poland, in which both the Pope, a Polish nationalist, and the Kremlin sought to avoid a bloodbath over the Solidarity Union, which was very active then as now. In addition, the Pope and the Kremlin had similar points of view with regard to preventing nuclear war and also with regard to diplomatic recognition of the Palestine Liberation Organization. The Pope was moving in these directions at the time he was shot. Suffice it to say that his shooting and the attendant publicity campaign served to chill relations between the Vatican and the Kremlin. It should be noted that, again, all of the evidence points in the direction of the West and the P2 Lodge rather than the Bulgarians. For one thing, Theodore Shackley, one of the defendants in the Christic Institute's suit, showed up in Italy in February of 1981 and began working with Giuseppe Santavito, one of the key P2 Italian intelligence officials. Santavito, an Italian intelligence chief, a long-standing member of the P2 Lodge. And they began working in February of 81. The Pope was shot just a few months later. In addition, it has been revealed that a number of Italian intelligence officials, or some Italian intelligence officials, had visited Mehmet Ali Agha just before he came up with his confession, as yet the only piece of information linking the Bulgarians and the Soviet Union with the shooting of the Pope. It should also be pointed out, too, that the circumstances surrounding the apparent framing of Anton Ivanov, the Bulgarian official who has been fingered by Western sources in the shooting of the Pope, well, it appears that he was framed largely using the services of a fellow named Father Felix Morlian. He is a right-wing Catholic prelate with long-standing ties to the U.S. intelligence community. Again, Radio Free America Show 21 goes into the Western intelligence connections to the shooting of Pope John Paul II. That's the those connections that I've just enumerated are in that program. In addition, the gun used by Agha was in a weapons shipment obtained by the BND, the West German Intelligence Service, and the fourth and final incarnation of the Galen Organization, the Nazi Eastern Front spy outfit, which first jumped to the United States and NATO, and later to West Germany, where it functions as its intelligence service to this day. Agha's gun, although supposedly in a shipment of East Bloc weapons, in fact had been obtained by a fellow named Horst Grillmeier, an Austrian national who worked for the BND, the West German Intelligence Service. Now, perhaps most significantly of the many Western intelligence connections to the shooting of Pope John Paul II, and there are many of them, the Stibom Arms for Drugs ring is the most intriguing. The fellow cited by most sources as the paymaster for the plot against the Pope's life was a deceased Turkish national named Bekir Çelenk, C-E-L-E-N-K. His name is going to crop up here later. And Bekir Çelenk, suffice it to say, died in prison when Italian investigators went to look into his possible role in the drug traffic and also in the shooting of Pope John Paul II. Bekir Çelenk, suffice it to say, was one of the main figures involved with an arms-for-drug smuggling ring called Stibom International. That's S-T-I-B-A-M. Stibom International was headquartered in the very same building in Milan, Italy, which served as the corporate headquarters for the Banco Ambrosiano. That was a failed Italian commercial bank which was intimately linked with the Vatican Bank itself, the IOR, the Institute for Religious Works, which was heavily involved not only with the Banco Ambrosiano, but with the organized crime dealings of the aforementioned Michele Sindona as well. Banco Ambrosiano's head, Roberto Calvi, died in what was first billed as a suicide and is now ruled a murder in London. Michele Sindona died in prison as soon as he was returned to Italy as well. Just this past week, people may have noticed that the head of the Vatican Bank, an American Archbishop of Lithuanian extraction named Paul Marcinkus, was recently, just this past week, has been turned out as head of the Vatican. Suffice it to say that there are strong links between the P2 Lodge, the Banco Ambrosiano, and Stibom International, two Italian intelligence officials, the aforementioned Giuseppe Santavito, and also another official named Massimo Pugliese, last name P-U-G-L-I-E-S-E, both P2 officials, both involved with Stibom, a major arms for drug smuggling ring. It was headed up by a man, a Syrian national, who also died in prison, named Henry Arsan, A-R-S-A-N, who worked, interestingly enough, for the Drug Enforcement Administration, among other things. Other key U.S. intelligence officials were involved, or key intelligence personnel were involved with Stibom International. Glauco Partel, P-A-R-T-E-L is his last name, a U.S. intelligencer, one of the main people involved with Stibom. Another one of his associates was a fellow named Eugene Bartholomaeus. He was an associate of Edwin Wilson, not only in his Libyan arms smuggling deals, but also in some of Wilson's dealings with the Nugan Bank in Australia as well. The names of Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon surfaced frequently in connection with some of the Stibaum machinations. Also, the Italian actor Rossano Brazzi's name was involved as well during the course of the many P2-related Stibaum machinations. Now, Stibaum here, this arms-for-drug smuggling ring, heavily involved with Western intelligence and Western military establishments, is essentially the milieu from which it appears the Shikarchi operation comes out of. Now, again, with Shikarchi AG, they took $25 million, according to Newsweek, from the CIA. Well, the CIA bought $25 million in foreign currency over a seven-year period from 81 to 88 from Shikarchi. Shikarchi involved in a very big way with Aral Chalik, alias Avni Yasser Musululu, a fellow who is not only heavily involved with the Pizza Connection case, but also with the shooting of Pope John Paul II as well, according to all information that's been developed so far. Interestingly enough, in another key translation gotten for us by Dave, Musululu, a.k.a. Aral Chalik, is described as being the European distributor for the heroin operation of Burmese warlord Khun Sa. That's K-H-U-N, capital S-A. Now, in the Christic Institute's suit, the Daniel Sheehan affidavit identifies, among others, Theodore Shackley as one of the people involved with distributing Khun Sa's heroin. And all of the information about the interrelationship between the Southeast Asian drug traffic and the group of veteran U.S. intelligence officials and military people known as the Secret Team, that is in the Danny Sheehan affidavit, which is available from the Christic Institute. We also went into that in considerable length in Radio Free America shows 29, 30, 32, and 34, primarily 34. Now, information obtained by a former Green Beret named Bo Greitz, who in turn was working with Richard Armitage, he was working for H. Ross Perot and came in contact with Richard Armitage, another Reagan White House person described by the Christic Institute as being involved with the drug traffic. Interestingly enough, Bo Greitz, who comes from a political background diametrically opposed to that of the Christic Institute, developed similar information linking Theodore Shackley of the so-called secret team with Khun Sa. Now, in turn, the Italian press has linked Khun Sa with Aral Chalik as his distributor, and as we said in the Europeo magazine's issue of August 17th of 1985, Theodore Shackley described as going to work with Giuseppe Santavito of P2 and Stibaum just before the Pope gets shot. Now, I realize that this is a very complicated situation, a very tangled situation. The archive shows and the references I'm making to them exist in order to help straighten that out. It should also be noted that the first person in the United States to surface the Bulgarians did it thesis, I guess you could say, was Paul Henze, former CIA chief of station in Turkey. Henze had in turn worked with a fellow named Ruzi Nazar, formerly Ruzi Nazarov. He was a Russian national who went to work for the Third Reich during the Second World War and specifically served in an SS punishment battalion during World War II. Nazarov then went to work for the CIA and specifically, or his name is Ruzi Nazar, he went to work for the CIA and specifically he went to work for Paul Henze in Turkey during the 1950s and 60s. Interestingly enough, Ruzi Nazar was described by Turkish terrorism expert Ugur Mumcu, last name M-U-M-C-U, as being very close to and involved with Alparslan Türkeş and the National Action Party, the youth wing of which, the Grey Wolves, was heavily implicated in the drug traffic as well as, obviously, the shooting of the Pope. Mehmet Ali Agha, the convicted would-be assassin of the Pope, was a key member of the Grey Wolves, as was the aforementioned Aral Chalik, alias Avni Yasar Musululu. Now, Ruzi Nazar, the former SS man who went to work for Paul Henze and CIA, and who was very close to the National Action Party and the Grey Wolves at the time of the shooting, Ruzi Nazar turned up in September of 1985 as the representative of the anti-Bolshevik bloc of nations at the World Anti-Communist League's Congress in Dallas, Texas, in September of 85. And that, by the way, is that information is covered in Radio Free America 14 that is going to be played again on KKUP in later on in this month. So those are some of the Western intelligence connections. It is STIBOM, the Arms for Drug Smuggling Ring, featuring, among others, Aral Chalik, Mehmet Ali Ajah, Bekir Chelenk. That is the background against which we're going to be viewing Shikarchi AG. And apparently, the Shikarchi operation develops directly out of the STIBOM operation, and obviously it intersects with the Pizza Connection case in a big way. If Pizza Connection ever unravels, among the people who stand to get sullied are George Bush, or at least the Pierce family, the Bush's in-laws, and the Reagan White House, in the person of Donald Reagan. If it unravels, it's probably going to go a lot further than that. Now, more on the Shikarchi AG connection and its interrelationship with the Pizza Connection case. By the way, you're going to see a reference here which is going to be very significant later on in the broadcast. The reference here is to the Lebanese connection. The Lebanese connection in this context refers to the Shikarchi operation. So the whole Shikarchi AG, or the two AGs, are also called the Lebanese connection here. So when you hear the Lebanese connection reference, it is a reference to Shikarchi and should be used it can be used interchangeably with it for our purposes here. Again, research credit for the following goes to Dave, our Italian translator. This is from La Repubblica of November 9th of 1988, the day after the first article I read you. Skipping down in the story, a frenzied wave of suitcases, purses, and overnight bags passed through the indifferent frontier of Bulgaria directly from Lebanon. The money was also destined for other companies operating in Switzerland. Among these, there's Shikarchi Trading AG of Zurich. Part of the money was turned into precious metals, and several dozen tons of gold were transferred from Zurich to Lebanon. A whirling circle of capital, money that probably served to finance arms purchases. Swiss justice hasn't even issued an indictment against the persons responsible for Shikarchi and other companies. Not that this couldn't happen in the near future. The inquiry is fully unwinding, and investigators are establishing the roles of the members of the Turco-Lebanese clan that started up this colossal Lebanese connection, quote-unquote, barely outlined by the revelations of another investigation, the famous, yet more modest, Pizza Connection. The implications that have emerged are infinite. The scandal has involved the famous lawyer Hans W. Kopp, K-O-P-P, vice president of Shikarchi until October 27th of 1988, as well as husband of the present Swiss Minister of Justice and Police. Shikarchi Trading has protested that it's had absolutely no part in the narco-dollar affair. Its president, Mohamed Shikarchi, whose father's company in Lebanon has been trading precious metals since 1948, denies the label of recycler. The younger Shikarchi says he's known the majority of his trading partners, quote, dozens of years, unquote, and doesn't, quote, have any reason to doubt their honesty, unquote. I suspect that analysis may change as time develops. And again, Shikarchi AG, yet another outgrowth of what we have termed over the years the Mediterranean merry-go-round.